This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Oh, Andy, so I don't know if you know, like, right?
What?
But Adam Liliana,
yep,
the Liverpool player, has been over in South Africa.
Has he?
Yes, he's been getting treatment for his hamstring injury from the world's greatest rehab facility.
And do you have some kind of information about what happened to him when he was
exactly
there in South Africa?
Yep.
Uncanny.
You know, isn't this interesting, Andrew? He actually got the injury when he was using his leg to point at an electricity substation that was making an irritating hum.
Okay.
Yeah? It's an interesting thing to be irritated by, isn't it, Andy?
Was it a hum or a whistle?
The hum. The rehab facility is at a place called Greenpoint, and they specialise in biokinetics, which is special exercises, right?
Right.
And drugs that repair muscle. Now, did you notice then, Andy, I used the word rehab facility?
I've got to admit, I didn't.
You didn't.
Is it crucial?
Yes, I noticed that you didn't. Well, no, it's just that it makes it sound a bit like secret and futuristic, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Rehab facility. Mm. So that's given this story quite a big kick, hasn't it?
Bit of gravitas,
yeah,
already, yeah.
Anyway, his supervising doctor's called Tony, I've got palladium, but it's spelled, I don't know quite how you say it. And him and Adam, Andrew, they got on like a house on fire.
Right.
Right, Tony's like a real alpha male.
Oh, yeah, like me.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, just like me, and you've freaking came in there like
that's
Mr.
an alpha male for you, mate.
Mr. Scissors. So, Tony, South African. All right, Adam, you bitch. We hit the graft. Don't fart on me, and I won't tod on your panties. Ha 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 ha. So, you know, he's that kind of bloke, you know what I mean?
Alpha male, yeah. One of them.
So, Adam says, I like you very much already, I do. We should go and have a fart on some cider later on. In fact, I fucking insist. Tony says, you're a gem, mate. You're a gem. I'll meet you at your hotel. This is going to be a great rehab. And they slap each other a bit, you know, like that's fun, innit?
Yeah.
For fellas and that. So it's just in fun. They slap each other. Well, the treatment's really scientific, Andrew, like as a special like pad attached to his thigh, special insoles put in his trainers,
right,
that makes a vibration buzzer sound if he's not walking exactly how he should be, yeah?
Yeah.
It's got an ankle bracelet thing that monitors blood flow, step rate, heart rate, location, right, where he is, his blood sugar, the fucking lot.
Ooh.
Right? Tony puts the gear on Adam and Tony says, oh, now where you are, what you doing, how you're moving, the whole gamut, you little bitch. Don't ever take the bracelet off or you'll fuck up the treatment. I'll tell you what, Drew, your leg complexion is off the scale. Beautiful towns. What's your secret? I apply Sizzly, that's the brand, Sizzly Sage and Ginger Contouring Oil, every evening, and twice a day I rub in Evolve Satin Leg Gloss. It's non-greasy and adds a lovely sparkly sheen. They look yummy, mate. I thought you Liverpool lads used the Nivea range. What's his accent? Adam Lallana.
Oi, 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 oi.
No, I wouldn't touch that shit with my todding pole. Anyway, that even, so that, you know, they're getting on with all the banter and that. And that evening, Adam's having a stroll around looking for a nice mustard V-neck jumper to tie around his neck. That'll look nice, wouldn't it, in Cape
Town? Would, lovely, yeah.
And he stops this bloke and asks him, he says, excuse me, Humphrey, do you know where there's a shop that sells luxury high-end cashmere sweaters Well, this bloke tells him he does. Asks Adam to follow him.
Oh, aye, aye.
Well, if I was there, Andrew, I would have intervened. But yeah. So he follows him and they slip off the main road and cut round the back of a multi-storey car park. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting place to cut round, isn't it? The car park.
Can be.
So, hey, multi-storey, Andrew. That's a really nice way of indicating that a building's on several levels, isn't it?
It is.
Multi-storey.
Yeah.
Suddenly...
Is that relevant?
Suddenly, Andrew...
Yeah.
The bloke pulls out a machete. Take your trousers! Sorry. Take your trousers off and start feeding them into your anus, you slack bastard! Well, what can he do, Andy? He's got a machete at his throat. So he takes his trousers off and has to take the ankle bracelet off to do it. Man says, Fester, feed the left leg in first. Now put this tawny clown hat on and sing Fog on the Tyne, the Gazza version, and keep fucking feeding. Well, he gets the left leg in, but then he turns to the man and says, look, pal, there ain't room for a pair of 30-inch waist Hugo Boss skinny chinos up my arse. It's like trying to get a corn cob up a mouse's jacksy. Man says, OK, have it your way, you bitch! And the man swings his machete back, ready to slice.
Right.
It's a big, sharp weapon. Just as he does so, bang! He's smacked across the back of his head with a prosthetic limb. It's Tony from the rehab
facility.
Yeah. I knew you're in trouble. Soon as I lost the signal from your gizmo. Adam, I fucking love you, Tony. Would he really have made me feed all of the chinos into my anus? Ah, you bet, mate. Last week, a bloke was forced to put a Parker and a pair of Timberlands up there. Gangbangers, you gotta fucking love them. Now, should we go and get that drink, you bitch? Oh, I reckon. In fact, I fucking insist.
Hey.
And off they went to get the drink.
A happy ending.
Phew.
Some peril, some danger,
close
some chinos.
Imagine if he'd missed the World Cup because of that.
Oh, yeah.
Just from cutting through round the back of a car park.
That's what can happen.
I've got this long story, Andrew.
Do you want to do it now and get it out of the way?
Go on, then. So, I had to go up to Stockton. On tees
for the
Alderman's annual summer feast.
Listen to that, boys and girls.
It's in this like big manor house just outside Stockton. It's got, you know, large...
Does he cook your dinner for you? Is it like open house?
No, it's not. It's much posher than that, Andrew. So I'm glad, yeah. So imagine open house, this place you used to go to.
Went once.
Yeah, where I'm sure they stole your property, went through your phones and everything. Just hand your coat in, sir. I had to go to Stockton. He's got his summer fair, big manor house, big gardens, posh restaurant, chef from Cape Town, got a spa, you know they have a spa area. I'm talking posh, beautiful place, yeah?
Yeah.
And out in the grounds for the fete, there's a bouncy castle, coconut shy, there's an owl handler, shire horses, balloon magic. So I'll just ask you, which one of them are you drawn to? Coconut Shy, Bouncy Castle, Shire Horse, Owl Handler?
How close together was the owl handling and the balloon magic? Because that sounds like a recipe for disaster.
They weren't that close.
That's all right.
In fact, the owl handler was quite a peripheral figure.
I would go for the owl. I always go for the danger.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, imagine little Andy sat there staring at the owl,
yep,
asking questions. Where do you get the owl? How much does the owl cost?
What does it eat? Where'd you get the mice from that you feed it?
Does it sleep lying down? How often does it blink? So, the main thing is a big marquee serving drinks, sandwiches, cakes, that sort of thing, Andrew.
Right.
So I make my way up to the big tent, and nearby the bar is the alderman with all his cronies, town clerk, vicar with the twitch, town planner, all that lot, yeah? And he sees me straight away. Robert! Come over here, Robert! There's someone I want you to meet, Robert. So over I go, you know, as you would. Robert, this is Mr. Peter Beardsley, Robert. The footballer and his lovely wife, Robert. So I say, oh, hello, Peter. So, wow, how nice to finally meet you. You know, he says, Bob, are you having that?
You've met him before. You met him at St. James's Park in an earlier episode.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, Peter, how nice to meet you again. Yeah?
There you go, that's better.
All right, Bob, yeah, having a nice time, you know, I am, like, you know. They've got a bouncy castle and an owl that hoots. I said, yeah, Pete, I come every year. What about you, Mrs. B? It's fucking shambles. It's full of fucking doyles. There'd better be some fucking eggs on offer sharpish, or we are fucking leaving. Peter says, sorry about that, Oliver. You know, the wife rejected Jesus recently, like, and has had a right knack on ever since, you know. It's only the eggs, like, you know, that can keep us stable, really.
Robert, we must get some eggs for Mrs. B. What's your preference, Mrs. B? Well, fucking poor cheese is best, like, then fried, then soft boilers, then scrambled, then hard boilers. And if you get poor cheese, make sure the yellow is very fucking runny. You know, like butterscotch fucking sauce.
Come on, Robert, let's see what we can find. Peter says, I'll come along too, that's all right, you know, to ensure the eggs, just so for the wife, right, is that all right, love?
Aye, I'll be fucking glad of the break from you, you fucking creepy pricks.
So me, Peter and the alderman walk off to the main house, you know, in search of eggs for Mrs. B. The alderman says, are you not a bit hot in that padded jacket, Peter? I'm sorry to pull you up on that, Alderman, but this is not a padded jacket. It's a puffer jacket. It's lightweight with a breathable mesh beneath the puffer chambers. But, yeah, I am a bit fucking hot. Well, we enter the main building via, like, a back service door. And more or less, we're straight into the kitchen, Andy. Mm-hmm. No one around. I suppose the staff are all out in the big tent looking after all that, yeah. You know. So we start looking around for some eggs, and the alderman and Peter go into one of them big walk-in fridge things, you know, and have a poke around, and I have a poke around in the cupboards. Suddenly, Andy, I hear the fridge door slam shut, yeah? And I hear, like, the click of it locking, you know, and I turn round, and there's this chef, you know, from Cape Town, the South African chef. He's got a meat cleaver in one hand.
Fuck.
And then, yeah. Imagine, I was really shocking. And an electric mixer in the other. And he says,
what are you doing in my fucking kitchen?
I says, I'm just looking for some eggs for Mr. Beads's wife. You know, she gets a bit wayward if she doesn't have a fix.
Beardsley, the bloke who has a problem with the young foreigns.
I says, yeah, well, we don't know that for sure. He says,
I'll tell you something for sure.
And I don't say anything. He says,
I'll tell you something for sure.
Right.
So, right. He says,
I said I'll tell you something for fucking sure.
I said, all right, you want me to say, ask what? Right, so I said, oh, sorry, what?
I'm glad to feed some kitchen utensils into your anus.
Meanwhile, in the big fridge, the alderman and Peter are speaking. You know, they can't hear what's going on outside. Peter says,
it seems like we've got locked in, you know. Bob will fetch us in a minute, you know. He's a good lad.
Well, Robert, better be quick about it. I'm freezing to death in here. Robert! Robert! Robert!
But I can't hear a thing. The alderman says,
you're a lucky bastard, you, Peter, having that quilted jacket.
Look, I'm sorry I have to bring a couple of things to your attention, but one, I am not little, I'm actually taller than me mum, and two, it is not a quilted jacket, it's a puffer jacket. It has a zip and a pressed stud clothing, twin line pockets and a concealed hood, and yes, I am a very lucky bastard to have it.
Suddenly, Peter sees a tray of food on the shelf.
What are you doing? What are you doing? Have you lost your marbles?
No, I've not. I have sunk into a lumpy flux. Or to put it simply, I have just seen a tray of chicken wraps.
Peter grabs himself a wrap, right, and bites straight into it, you know. Yeah.
Oh, that is bang on the money. That is like nice watery Dutch tomatoes and lovely lumpy, lumpy chicken, like a lovely lumpy chicken pillow. I could stay for hours and forget all my pain.
Bloody hell. Robert! Robert! Robert!
Meanwhile, I'm back in the kitchen.
Take your strides off and bend over the waste bin!
Well, Andy, what am I meant to do, right? He's got a meat cleaver in his hand. You understand, don't you?
Just, I sympathise, put it that way.
I mean, what would you do?
I'd just do as I was told.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right, first off, stop feeding the tea towel into your anus. Then the scouring pad and follow it with this gravy boat.
Sorry, was it a cheap tea towel or expensive?
God, I'm in the middle. I've got this.
Did you not have a look?
I didn't have a look. It was dirty. And follow it with this gravy boat right up. Well, Andy, I get the tea towel and the scouring pad up all right, to be honest with you. But I'm struggling just with the size of the gravy boat, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously. I said, look, I'm really struggling here, mate. You know, do you think you could give it a shove with your foot? And he says, well, he didn't like that, right? And suddenly he has the blade of his cleaver, right, resting on my forehead, right?
Get up or I'll cut your forehead off.
I said, look, would it be okay if I sat on it? You know, because that would help, wouldn't it, Andy? It might force it up.
Yeah, of course.
And potentially break its handle? Now you can fuck off with that.
I said, look, hey, I'm sorry, but I just can't do it. Please, please don't remove me forehead. I mean, like, I need it, like, you know, for resting against train windows.
I don't understand why he's bothered about breaking or not.
Well, you'd have to ask him, and I don't recommend it, Andrew.
Mm.
Well, that's with that, he raises up the cleaver, Andy, yeah? I close my eyes thinking, this is it. And then I hear a dull thud, like a... I don't know whether that's... No, it was duller than that, Andrew.
Right.
And he drops to the floor.
Shit.
There's Mrs. B.
Whoa. What the fuck are you doing with a gravy boat up your ass, you dirty little fucking pervert?
Well, I explained to her that I was forced, you know, and how it happened, and I thank her for saving me.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back in the fridge, Peter is trying to cheer up the alderman with some of his jokes, you know. So he said, mate, here's a couple of jokes, you know, mate, take your mind off things. Like, he says, I had a mate, you know, quit his job, like, at the sewage works. He said it were boring just going through the motions every day. My ass was really sore after a curry. The wife said, oh, right, ring sting. I said, why, what would he be able to do? What would he be able to do?
Robert, please, Robert, release me.
Back in the kitchen.
So, did you find any fucking eggs? I am gasping. And where's that fucking clown of a husband of mine?
I tell her that the chef locked him in the fridge, like, you know.
What a fucking doyle that bloke is. Get him out, will you? Nice cock, by the way. Peter's is like a fucking chicken wing.
So we get Peter the alderman. We get Peter the alderman out of the fridge.
Oh, I love. Hey, look what I found in the fridge. Like, it's a full box of hard boilers.
Well, get them fucking peeled sharpish, because I want to eat them on the shitter.
Yes, love. You're a good lad.
You're a good lad, Peter. You're a good lad, Peter. Thick as a fart in a bottle. But you mean well.
Thanks, love.
So, all's well. Wow. That's well, isn't it?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I went to Homebase at the weekend, right?
They're shutting down.
Are they?
A lot of them are shutting down. Do you know why?
Tell me.
Go on, were you going to say something?
I'll have a guess.
Go on.
Because they haven't, like, got that ambience of a garden centre where... do you know what I mean? Where you can get Victorian suites, cafes, pots. You know, like, it doesn't feel like a day out. It just feels like going shopping, going to Homebase.
But Homebase isn't strictly a garden centre, though. It's DIY, isn't it?
True,
it's got a gardening offshoot. It's not hardcore gardening. But what someone was saying was the reason is because so few people are buying houses now and doing them up. Fucking bastard landlords don't bother.
Right.
So the DIY market is collapsing. Homebase.
Okay, you like the Financial Times, you, Andrew.
I am, aren't I? A little bit. Anyway, you were at Homebase. What happened?
I was just telling you about... It was just a little store. I went to Homebase because you asked if I'd bought anything. I wanted a curved blade pruning saw.
Right.
Because I was cutting down this little quince bush thing.
Quince, eh?
Yeah. I mean, I inherited it with the house, Andy, before you start getting on me back about it. So it's like I was saying, you know, like Homebase, there was no cafe, Alsatian,
there's not even a cafe,
wicker shit, any of that. So it was quite functional.
You need to go to Clare's Garden Centre near Washington.
Clare's.
Is that a good day? It's got a lovely cafe as well. Yeah, it's a proper garden centre, that.
I wonder if that was where Peter was going. Is it outside of Newcastle?
Just on the outskirts of Washington.
Oh, it sounds like maybe that was where
probably
he was going.
Yeah.
So I went to like the gardens in like a plant area, you know, like a massive greenhouse, so it's fucking hot in there.
Yeah.
So I went in there. Do you know, it's humid, a bit like your toilet after you've had a really long, drawn-out tod, Andrew. You know, like, the bit of humidity levels will have risen.
Yeah.
So it's like, do you know sliding doors? It's big sliding doors get you in there, right?
The film.
Yeah. And they'd stop working. I was in there. And I wouldn't open.
Right.
Right. I'm telling you the truth. And there was no, like, obvious, like, red button, call staff, problems or whatever. And I was I've gone really early. I was the only one in the area. And I waited by the fucking window, just, you know, to wave at a member of staff.
Yeah.
But then a staff member appeared at the far end, like, at the back end of this, you know, like, I don't know, where the public aren't allowed, you know what I mean?
God, there's a lot of jeopardy in this so far.
So he beckons me to follow him out through the delivery area, you know, like storage area.
Yeah.
So we walk, and back there, it's like another Homebase. There's all aisles, all with forklifts ready to pick stuff.
Another one?
Well, you know what I mean? It almost could be a shot. It's all the stuff, the stocks, all right, stacks up and everything. Well, as I'm walking through, I see the curved blade pruning shears.
The ones that you're after.
Yeah. And I said to the fella, I said, that's what I came for. Is it all right if I grab a pair, right?
Yeah.
So he picks up a curved blade pruning saw, right? And then he turns to me, right? And he says, shut your mouth and take your trousers off, you fat pig. God, it's a South African fella, Andrew. He's a gangbanger. Well, what am I meant to do, Andrew? You tell me, right? He's got a curved blade pruning saw, like about 2 inches from my neck, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not like a hero sort of character.
No, you're not here.
Right, so he says, get on your knees and thrust your bottom up towards the chicken wire. I said, I'm sorry, mate. I don't know where the chicken wire is here. He said, top shelf by the Victorian lamppost chefs, you prick. So I point me backside right up towards the chicken wire, right? He says, right, feed the curved blade pruning saw into your anus. Handle first and sing January, February by Barbara Dixon.
Lovely song.
Yeah. So I'm singing, January, February, don't you come around. Why you say you're leaving and then you turn around. And before
you
I know
won't
it...
You won't settle down. You got both feet on the ground. Sorry. Yeah.
Before you know it, the handle has slipped in. I think it really helped singing.
Handle first. Nice touch.
But I can't bring myself to feed the blade in. It's just too scary. I said, look, mate, can I ask you, what is like your end game here? What outcome are you after? Do you just want me to suffer? Or like, is there something more to this? He says, I want you to be ashamed so that you will agree to be my friend. I'm thousands of miles from Joburg here and it's mighty fucking lonely. I say, mate, honestly, you've got the wrong boat. I've had snakes up there, gravy boats, fuel tanks. Honestly, it really don't bother me. It's not. I'm not going to be
ashamed. It's like a bric-a-brac up there.
Honestly, you know, you're unlucky for you, mate. You just got the wrong boat. He said, look, I've got the wrong guy. I says, listen, mate, I'm perfectly happy to be your friend. why don't we get a coffee, have a chat, talk about what we might have in common, you know? He says, I'd like that big time. So I said, right, well, Homebase hasn't got a cafe. It's much more functional destination, you know. So what, say I meet you over the road at Wyvale Garden Centre in about an hour. He says, I've the deal, but I can't wait. So I got out, phoned the police, and had him arrested as soon as he arrived at Wyvale. But Andrew, best thing was, I kept the curved pruning saw up my arse. And so I got him as a freebie.
Nice one.
It kind of worth it, I reckon, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think that would be so like...
You trotted out with the blade sort of hanging out like a tail.
Yeah. So, you know, I suppose they might have seen, but it'd be difficult to approach a customer and say, excuse me, sir, could you remove that from your... You know, it's...
They wouldn't want it back, would they?
Or maybe they just didn't see,
They wouldn't want it back, I don't think, in that condition.
Do you think that story was a bit like The Usual Suspects, you know, with, like, a surprise baddie and, like, a twist at the end?
No, because I could see what was coming.
You knew I was going to nick it?
I knew he was going to turn up.
You knew that was a South African story?
As soon as you said the word beckoned, yeah, he beckoned me, I thought, I see what's happening here.
Righty-o.
How many... You would have took him up the showbiz centre, wouldn't you?
The South, if he was a real friend, yeah, of course I would. You're allowed one guest a month.
Do you think...
Isn't that a crazy rule? A month.
Do you think that'll ever be me?
Doubt it, Andrew, no. I've got to be honest with you. I don't consider you showbiz.
Well, you said you would have took him and he was jamming a tool up your arse. Well, that's not showbiz.
If jamming tools up arse isn't fully showbiz, I don't know what is, Andrew.
I'm doing this wrong.
Hey, I had a winter break last week.
What does that mean?
You know, like,
went off somewhere?
Yeah, I went off somewhere.
Cheeky bastard.
I went to Mallorca. What do you think of that, lad? What do you think of that?
I've got a very similar plan, but it's a plan that'll not come off.
Yeah?
Because I've just got too much going on.
They'll get you.
But, but we've got like 2 weeks and then it's Brexit and then it's going to be impossible to leave the country, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know, Andrew. You'll get out somehow. They'll let you out.
Tunnel out.
I went to Mallorca.
Was it nice?
Yeah, we're doing a TV show.
Oh!
I don't know what you think this will be like. It's you go back abroad, they take you back abroad to a place where you went abroad.
Right.
When you were a teenager.
Okay.
And you try and have the same order. Right. I think we're all right.
If that was me, then I'd probably go to a record shop near the Acropolis.
Was that your teenage memory?
It's one of them, yeah.
Amazing the things you remember, isn't it? So, it was about 20 degrees.
Right.
I'm going to make you jealous. I'm going to tell you what I did.
Go on.
I got there 2 days before filming, right? So I could maybe get a couple of hours on the beach.
So you could acclimatise.
Well, just have a, you know, relax. So I'm at a posh-ish hotel. Right, and I asked if there was like a beach nearby that would be a bit secluded, you know, that beach you dream of kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he said he knew about it, yeah. And here's the thing, Andrew, get this. Because it was a posh-ish hotel, he asks me if, because I asked him where the beach is, he says, does he want the hotel to prepare me a picnic, cold box picnic for the
nice.
Beach?
Oh, nice, that's a nice touch, that. Yeah.
So there's two things I hope have upset you, a secluded beach.
And a picnic.
With a picnic,
and then you got there and it was the same beach from when you were a kid, and you dug up the hammer you buried when you were there.
No, I wish.
50 years ago.
Get this, Andy, guess what he says to me?
What?
There was different prices. That shows the most expensive one.
Yes, well,
it says
really
you get
that.
A fucking fully prepared lobster. So, what did I do? I said, yes, thank you, garçon, and all that business. So, he got me a taxi, took me down the beach, about 4 miles away, and I promise, and it was totally empty. There was one old lady sat under some rocks, you know, like a Spanish old lady, sat there mending nets or something. Yeah. That's it.
And you're sat there in your army surplus shorts and your slippers.
I was
eating a lobster.
I was in, like, you know those.
And a knotted handkerchief on your head.
So I opened
my big ball patch and getting burnt.
I opened up my cold box. Beers. 2 bottles of beers. Bread. And like a pot of prawn mush.
You know how
we call that. Salad. But, Andy, this is what you'll enjoy. No fucking lobster.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Did you not check it before you went?
No, I fucking didn't. And I was really pissed off because I had it.
Quite right.
I had it on my mind. You know, like fat bloke like me on a beach with a lobster.
Lobster around his mouth.
That's the stuff of dreams,
yeah.
Isn't it?
bits of shell everywhere. So, never mind.
Then it got, so I was just sat there and I couldn't relax anymore. I had it on my mind. Then I hear like a moped coming, right? The bloke riding it.
Oh, God, it's a thing.
Bloke riding it is waving at me. Right? Well, no, but listen up.
I'm listening.
It's the concierge fella.
Oh, he come after you with
get
the lobster.
This.
Right.
All huffy and puffy, right? And he's brought me lobster, right? I said, oh, mate, you're never going to know how grateful I am for you doing that. He says, fuck off with the thank you and take off your knickers. So, I mean, oh, I didn't say you're South African.
No, you didn't mention
no,
that,
South
no.
African.
I would have remembered.
Well, what can I do, Andy? Because, like, he's in charge of a moped.
Take him off.
He's in charge of a moped, so he's obviously a tough nut, isn't he?
Yeah.
So I take off my trunks, you know, and I said, look, mate, what do you want? He says, I want you to feed this lobster into your anus. Bend over and keep stam. So I bend over and he says, here, lube up with this prawn batter. Butter. I'm not a monster. And that is a nice gentle touch of it,
yeah.
Isn't it? So I do that and I can feel the, you know, those little poles that come off lobsters' faces? I don't know what they are. I can feel them gently tapping against me ass cheeks.
Probes, I think they call it,
you know. So he says, here we go, mate, fucking lobster party on the beach. I'm starting to feed it in. Then I hear just a soft thud in the sand. And I turn round and I see the old lady stood above him with a big rock in her hand. Phew, I say, oh, gracias, gracias. Chris que habría puesto esa langosta on mi ano? Which means, do you think he would have put that lobster into my anus?
Yeah.
And she said, sí, señor, putras panadillos tenes cu ano anosos. Which roughly translates, no, sorry, she said, sí, señor, putos panadillos tienes que amarralos, which roughly translated means, yes, sir. Fucking gangbangers, you gotta love them. So, Andy, you know, it's all that matters to me is for any period of time, did you think that wasn't a South African story?
Quite a big part.
Yes!
Yeah, until the moped, until the moped arrived.
So, as you're aware, Andrew, I don't actually have a functioning ray gun at the moment.
Yeah, I'm very sorry about that. Are there any plans to get it refunctioned in the near future?
Listen up, Andrew. So, I went up to North London to inquire about the repair.
Yeah.
At Infinity Rocket Plastics, yeah? To see if I could get a reconditioned unit in the meantime.
Just to tide you over, yeah.
Or maybe replace it with a new model, you know?
Bloke. You just wanted a solution, didn't you?
Well, I'm got a ray gun, Andrew. Bloke was nice about it. I think they feel guilty that my ray gun has now been from Ipswich, and now I'm informed it's in Gdansk in Poland specialist attention.
Right.
Well, he took me into the rear workroom to look at a few models, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Blonde lass from the Ukraine, skinny fella from Finland. In bathing suits. Yeah, that was just kind of for the lols, for a bit of fun.
Yeah.
But actually, it is a photography studio as well.
So it was legitimate.
Interesting, isn't it? And just as they were leaving, so he lets me have a go of a couple of ray guns.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm in heaven. So
we did a good space there.
It is like a firing range.
Yeah.
And you do, like, he's got, it looks like plasma. I'm sure it's not plasma.
Yeah.
But so he let us have a go of the Zeltron 60. Yeah, which is very, very effective, apparently, against winged enemies.
That's an upgrade on your current one, isn't it?
Sure.
Were you not tempted to just buy one of them and forget about Gdansk?
Well, I like the look of it, but then I tried a Pfizer ZX, right? Mm. Very good against climbing enemies.
Yeah.
And, you know, general arseholes.
Yeah.
Like train drunks.
Climbers, scramblers, maybe.
HGV drivers.
Yeah.
That kind of person. So I then I thought it was very good, but I handed it back to him. He points it straight at my face.
Shit.
Take your strides off and point your bat at the cornice. He was South African, Andy.
Yeah, wasn't he?
What could I do? He's got a Pfizer ZX pointing at me.
You've got to do it.
And it's anti-climate. I'm an excellent climber, as you know. So I did what I asked. Right, he says, Lord, I'm going to feed the barrel of this Helicon P40 into your anus and let's have a party in your ascending colon.
So I feel him feeding it in, you know.
Yeah.
And then he pulls the trigger.
Oh, God.
I say, stop, please stop. He says, ha, your gun will be ready when it's ready. These are complicated units, you fucking dollop. Well, suddenly it stops.
It stopped?
Yeah. And I hear him scream, yeah? It's the finished model. And he's blasted him with the Zeltron 60, you know, the earlier model I tried.
Yeah.
He's come back in.
Oh,
I said,
thank God.
Thanks, mate. I don't know how much more of that I could have taken, you know. And he says,
finish.
Oh, finish? What is that?
I don't know.
Gangbangers. You've got to fucking love them.
That's good enough for me.
I had to drive up to Leeds the other day.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, to pick me son's stuff up from his digs, like, because he's...
Well, he just abandoned it, had he? Legged it?
No, he was leaving. He's moving back down south.
So could he not bring her back himself then, in like a taxi or something, or on the train?
Well, I suppose he could have. Bob perfectly happy to drive him up and drive him back.
Oh, he was with you? Didn't you send you up?
No, I went up with him.
Oh, okay, that's all right then.
So
that's reasonable.
So it was a long drive, so we stopped halfway at M&S on the services. You know, do you like M&S being on the services?
I don't often use it. It's all right that it's there, but I don't often use it, to be honest. Not as a Greggs anyway.
Oh, man, the queue at Greggs.
Ridiculous, isn't it?
Shit.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
what services was it, Weatherby?
We're about halfway down. Sorry, I can't remember the year one. So I was looking for a good car snack, yeah?
Yeah.
Which, for me, would have been a Greggs cheese and onion, but I want queuing. 50 people in the queue, can't be bothered with that. So I went into M&S looking for a good car snack, and it was a really hard choice. Do you know your M&S well? I'm not really...
I'm not a regular consumer of M&S goods, but go on.
Because I said to me boy when I got back in the car, I said, I couldn't decide between two things. Can you guess what they are? And he nailed it instant.
But he knows you better than I do, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He knows your ways and your habits.
Well, I had to choose between a chicken quarter or a Scotch egg.
Okay. I would have said mini Scotch eggs would have been one of the things.
No, you have to buy two proper Scotch eggs. I tell you what, they're only a quid. It's not bad,
that's
is
all
it?
Right, yeah, for M&S. And on the road.
Yeah. I decided to get both.
Is that it?
Anyway, well, why did I start telling you this? I don't know. So when I got there, anyway, I don't know if you'd be the same, but like, I didn't want to go inside, right? Because it's a shared house with other lads and it's going to be a state in it.
Yeah.
It's just something I didn't really want
to... You didn't have your crime file protective gear on.
I just didn't want to see it, so I sat on a neighbour's wall waiting inside.
It was a low wall.
Nice, beautiful low brick wall with a cement header.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Sat on the neighbour's wall while he packed his stuff up and the bloke pulls up in his car, like being Yorkshire. All right, Bob, I thought it were you. Fucking hell, you're a short ass in real life, aren't you? Isn't it weird? I said, oh, yeah, fair, yeah, you
well,
know
I mean,
you're
you
right.
You are, to be fair.
I mean, I laughed mainly, of course, because it's true.
Yeah.
I told him I was picking my son up. He says, can I have a selfie? I don't find you very funny, but I suppose I should have a photo.
Just because.
This is true. This is what people say.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. So I leant down to his window and he took his photo. Then he drove off shouting, oh, Rika, ka, 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 or something.
They do that as well, don't they?
Yeah. I go back, sit on my wall. A nice, fluffy black cat came up, said hello. Oh. And I remembered, Andy, I hadn't had my chicken quarter.
Oh.
So I got it out the car, started eating it on the wall, and the bloke comes out of the house asking what I was doing on the wall. I said, oh, I'm just waiting for my son. I'm picking him up from next door. And he grabbed me like by my collar, yeah? Pulled me backwards onto his front lawn.
Yeah.
Right? How dare you fucking... How dare you eat fucking chicken on my wall? He's South African.
Oh, yeah.
I said, oh, yeah, mate, it's not just any chicken, it's M&S chicken. You know, which was a pathetic thing to say, Andy, wasn't it? I don't care about its fucking origin. Take your strides off and put your arse up towards my satellite dish. Well, Andy, he's about 6 foot. 6 foot, he's got a tattoo on his arm that says no future or something. So I guess he's like pretty lost and capable of anything, so I do as I'm told. He said, take that chicken quarter and feed it into your anus, wing point first. So I spread my cheeks like with the one hand, you know, and I'm just about to start feeding the chicken quarter in when I hear a screech of brakes and the man, the South African man, I can see his legs run off back into the house. Oof. Well, it's the bloke who wanted the selfie.
Oh, right, yeah.
He'd come back because the photo was shit. So how lucky was that?
Really,
I said, oh,
lucky.
Thanks, mate. Did you see what he was making me do? He said, fucking gangbangers. You got to fucking love them, though, eh? Innit? I said, hey, would you like this M&S chicken quarter as a thank you? He says, no, it's all right. I got a photo of it adjacent to your anus. That'll do me, son. Did you think that story is a bit like Trading Places, you know, with me on the street eating food and like, a beggar
pretty
and
much,
that?
Yeah, quite a lot like it, yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you.
And can I also point out that I knew immediately at the start of that story where it was going?
Did you really?
I did. As soon as you said you'd gone somewhere, I thought, yeah, I know where this is going.
So that's
South Africa.
Look, so listen up. I'd like to start with Steve McLaren.
You said that in a very sombre manner, as if something terrible to about
no, but well, not I, necessarily.
I come
so.
To you with news of Steve McLaren.
Steve and Casper.
Yes.
We're out in the clown car, Steve's clown car.
Yeah.
Having a nice drive around Derbyshire. So that's a nice county, isn't it, Andy?
It is. You know, I've only been there once and I had a lovely time.
Probably, maybe the most beautiful of the
Is Alton English- Towers there?
Is that what? Oh, yes, it's not so beautiful in Alton Towers, Andrew.
I thought it was good.
Well, you took your nippers there, did you?
I went on Easter weekend, and I didn't know this, but apparently Easter weekend at Alton Towers is when the travelling community descend
right.
on Alton Towers right. en masse.
Yeah.
And it was lively. That's
you
all
mean
I'll say.
You mean
was,
fighty?
There was a police presence. It was great.
A police present?
Yes.
You could get a
presence.
Presents.
You got presents off the police, yeah, presents. When you went in. Yeah.
So
like Santa's Grotto.
They're in Derbyshire.
Carry on.
And they're parked up in Birkwell.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So Steve says, right, Casper, this is Bakewell, the home of the Bakewell tart. It's a yummy, scrumptious combination of short crust pastry, frangipan, strawberry jam and flaked almonds. Oh, Casper, it's like eating bubbles of laughter and funniness whilst you're having your toes tickled by a fluffy bunny. So they put the big plastic omelette cover over the clown car and they walked into the beautiful town of Bakewell. And just as they got to the first baker's, Casper stopped. Stopped dead, Andrew.
Oh.
You know, and indicated that he wanted to go into the junk shop that they'd just passed.
Did he indicate? Did he just point his face towards it?
He points his face towards it, yeah, and his tongue laps towards the intended location.
Oh, Casper, come on. Are you still trying to find that hand drill for your woodwork project?
Casper nods.
Oh, well, you pop in and have a look and I'll meet you in the baker's next door.
So Casper disappears into the junk shop and Steve wanders into the baker's, right?
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Baker. I want a nice, big, succulent Bakewell tart. And I wondered if it would be possible to have the letter C for Casper iced on top of it in yellow.
Well, first, the baker says straight away that for a special order, you've got to give 24 hours notice, you know?
Yeah.
And then he noticed that it was Steve McLaren.
Yeah.
He used to manage around those parts.
He did.
So he agreed reluctantly to do a quick icing job for him, right? Yeah. So they went behind the counter into the bakery room and the baker filled a large icing bag with bright yellow icing.
Right.
For that C for Casper. Then the baker turns round.
You're right.
Yeah. The baker turns round and says, take your A-line slacks off and your undies. He was South African. And
he was, yes.
Unusual in Bakewell, isn't it?
What the dickens is going on? I only came in for a personalised tart. Is your mind out of sequence?
Well, at that, the baker picked up a marble rolling pin and brandished it at Steve. So that's quite a weapon, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Okay. I don't want any trouble. I've just had a gastric pan fitted.
Right now. Get on the floor, raise your buttocks in the air and stare at the marzipan dispenser on top of that machine.
Steve does as he's told.
And take that fucking flaky pastry off your forehead. It's turning my stomach.
That's not flaky pastry. That's my Hair Island. My Hair Island.
And the baker smacks him on the head with the rolling pin, yeah? Never sing on a bakery. It can make the eclairs deflate. Now feed the nozzle of this icing bag into your anus and empty the lot.
Well, I try, but I'm very worried about my gastric band.
Don't worry, my brother had the same op, and it proved very durable. So Steve began feeding the nozzle in. Just as he started, he heard the baker scream out in agony and drop onto the floor. It was Casper, with his tail wound around the handle of his hand drill, drilling the bit deep into the baker's calf.
Oh, thank you, Casper, you brave little warrior.
Steve grabbed the drill and the tart and ran back to the car. So they sat in silence under the omelette cover, listening to the patter of the rain and tucking into their Bakewell tart.
Do you think he really would have made me feed all that icing into myself?
And Casper gave a look as if to say,
yeah, gangbangers, you gotta fucking love them.
I'm so pleased you found your drill, Casper, and I can't wait to see the nest of tables you're making for me.
And that was their day out in Bakewell.
Well, that's kind of justice, I suppose, for what he did in Derbyshire last time.
What, with his destroyers and exit?
Destroy and exit, yeah.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.